This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهم رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, today I want to share with you a formula for success في الدنيا والآخرة, in this life and the next, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran over 1400 years ago. A formula about which we complain about not having these things, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given us a very simple method of how to obtain them in the Quran. So if the reason we do not have the results is because we are not applying the formula. This formula is like a medication. It is a medicine in the sense that if you look at most medicines today, if you go to Walgreens, CVS or whatever, and you take a medication off the shelf, you will have two types of ingredients. You'll have one set of ingredients that are known as inactive ingredients. These inactive ingredients are binders and other things that make it possible for you to take the medication. Then you will have either one or two or a couple, what is known as active ingredients, which are the actual thing that you need. For instance, if you go and get Tylenol, it is acetaminophen. That is the active ingredient. But then there are other ingredients that are binders to put it into pill form so that you can take it. Otherwise, you couldn't take it directly, whether it was intravenously or whatnot. So these things allow the medications to work. This formula is very similar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran, in that it has inactive and an active ingredients. But without them all together, just like the medication on the shelf, it will not work. You have to put them all together and take them as a whole in order for them to be beneficial for you. But if you do, I want to show you today, insha'Allah ta'ala, how much Allah is prepared to give you for three simple things. Three simple things. And two of them you already have by default as a Muslim. Two of them you already have by default as a Muslim. It is the active ingredient that we are missing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this formula by asking a question. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question in the Quran, it is something that we should pay attention to. The mufassirin of the Quran, going all the way back to the Sahaba, say when Allah presents a direct question to you, it shows the importance of the answer. The importance of the answer. And this question is actually a question that is known. The answer is known to everyone. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُولُكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ أَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. A very beautiful question. First and foremost, I want you to understand who is the questioner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is the one being questioned? Us. And if you look at the grammatical state of this question, it's being asked to us in such a beautiful manner. A manner that, wallahi, we don't deserve to be addressed in this way as human beings. But Allah, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Wadood, is asking us in such a beautiful tone, O you who believe, can I show you, can I guide you to a tijara, to a business? Allah refers to this formula as a tijara with Him, a business done with Him. Can I guide you to a tijara, a business that will avoid you a painful punishment? Look at this. Look at the beauty of the Quran. Look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the question He's asking us. Asking us so gently, like you would ask one of your children, can I guide you to something that if you do it, it will avoid you from being painfully punished? And who is the punisher? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is telling us, my slave, can I show you something that if you get into this business with me, it'll prevent me from having to punish you? This question, we know the answer, right? No one in their right mind is going to say, no, that's okay. Ya Allah, keep your business and I'll just take the punishment. All of us want to avoid this punishment. No one wants to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that the answer is yes. So in the next verse, Allah lays out a formula in three parts. In three parts, Allah lays out a formula. The first two of them are inactive. The first two of them, the first one Allah says, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. First, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are people whom Allah is addressing, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, then you have that first one by default. You believe in Allah, we say we believe in Allah. You cannot be a Muslim without saying Amantu Billah. You cannot be a Muslim without confessing that you believe in Allah. So the first one, Tu'minuni Billah. You have that one. Wa Rasuli. And His Messenger. You have that one. If you are someone who believes, you have belief in Allah and His Messenger. There is no entry into Islam without saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That we believe in Allah and His oneness, and we believe in the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by default, two-thirds of this formula, you possess it. But they are inactive, meaning that they are just something which we say. They are just something which we profess. But what do we do about it? Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said that iman is not just the profession of your lips. Iman is not just saying you believe in Allah. He said iman, real faith, is that which it sells itself in your heart and then it becomes manifested through your actions. It is the doing that becomes the faith, not just the professing. So what is the third thing Allah says? وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَلِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. That you strive hard and you put in work, juhud, which is effort, striving, struggling, cause, fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting in the effort and the sacrifice and the work for what? Fi sabilillah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is missing. This is the part of the formula that we as an ummah miss. We work so hard. Wallahi, if you look at our lives, nobody has time for anything. I know, I'm one of them. I don't have time for nothing anymore. Our lives are becoming so busy. Time is slipping away from us. Time is blinked, like the blink of an eye, it's gone. It's about to be June in 2024. We don't have time. We're working and working and working tirelessly. For what? For this world. For this thing that doesn't want us. For this thing that you cannot catch. For this thing that one of the Salaf said is like your shadow. I think it was Hassan al-Basri again. Said that this dunya is like your shadow. If you chase it, it just runs from you. I dare anyone to go out there. It's not sunny today. But on a sunny day, try to catch your shadow. You'll get a lot of exercise, but you're going to keep chasing it. He said, but as soon as you turn away from it and walk away, it follows you. As soon as you put no importance on it, this dunya is just a means. And you focus on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing the work of Allah. then the dunya will follow behind you. Allah has made it so. This is the formula. We must put in the work. If you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life was a work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the lives of the companions, yes, they had jobs, they had businesses, they had wealth, they had means. Some of them were rich, some of them were poor, etc. But their primary goal, their primary aim, their primary concern was what was the work that needs to be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That took precedence over everything. If there was work to be done for Allah, then that was primary. The other work was secondary. We have flipped it around. I remember there was a speaker a long time ago when I used to first got involved in being a part of listening to Islamic lectures and things about that. He said something very profound. He said that the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them and grant them the highest ranks of Jannah of Firdaus al-A'la. The companions wore this deen on their head like a crown. The companions wore this deen on their head like a crown. It was their honor. And they carried the world around, they carried the dunya around in their hands. So that if something became misplaced with what was on their head, if their crown became crooked, they would put that which is in their hands down to fix that which was on their heads. That was their methodology. Our methodology, the Khalif, our methodology is that we wear the dunya on our head like a crown. And we carry the deen in our hands. And if something becomes misplaced with what is on our head, we put down what is on our hands to fix it. We flipped the entire scenario. You see, their methodology was that the work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came first. Can everyone move up a little bit? Inshallah ta'ala, we have brothers trying to get in. Just scoot up a little bit. The work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was primary. And Allah says, if you believe in Allah, if you believe in His Messenger, and you make effort, juhud, for His sake, then that will, number one, avoid you a painful punishment. It's the answer to the question, right? To avoid you a painful punishment. Now, what if that was it? If all that Allah said He would give you for these three things is that He would not punish you, would you be okay with that? I would be okay with that. I'm okay with that. If all Allah said to me on the Day of Judgment is that because of you doing these three things, I will not punish you, just stop existing. Gone. I'm okay with that. No punishment, just never exist. No problem. Like the animals, just gone. I'm okay with that. That is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He has the right, the capabilities, and I have done enough to warrant His punishment. So if He decided not to punish me for these three things, more than enough, more than merciful, alhamdulillah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful than we have the capabilities to understand. He wants more good for you than you have the capability to understand. Because in the next two verses, Allah gives us so much for these three small things. So much. The next verse, the first thing Allah says He will do, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. I will forgive you of your sins. Not only am I not going to punish you, because He could not punish us and just stop existing, but I am going to give you maghfirah. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Anywhere you find in the Quran, a lot of places where you find Allah talk about forgiveness of sins, the next thing you'll find Allah talk about, Jannah. Because Allah could not punish you and just cause you to cease existing. But when He decides to give you His rahmah, His maghfirah, this is where you are allowed to enter into paradise. This is what is known as thamanul jannah, as I've mentioned. The price, the entry ticket to Jannah. Allah says, يَغْفِرْ لُكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّةً. I will forgive you of your sins and I will put you in paradise. I will forgive you of your sins and I'll put you in paradise. If Allah stopped right there, He's already given us more than we could ever ask for. He's already given us more than we can ask for. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not enough. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّةٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَرُ وَمَسَكِينَ طَيِّبَةٍ فِي جَنَّةِ عَدْنٍ. Allah says, not only will I enter you into Jannah, underneath which rivers flow in between them, how we can't comprehend, but I will give you beautiful homes, فِي جَنَّةِ عَدْنٍ, in the most prime real estate of paradise. The most prime real estate. We will fight over prime real estate here in this world. We'll work ourselves to the bone, 40, 50, 60 years to live in a nice neighborhood so our children can feel safe, etc. Allah is telling us for these three simple things, I will give you the prime real estate in Jannah that is forever. that never ceases to exist. It's yours forever. Our minds can't comprehend forever. We don't really have the capacity to understand what forever means. Time without an end. And then Allah says, ذَلِكُ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the greatest achievement you'll ever achieve. This is the greatest. When Allah says, ذَلِكُ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, this is the greatest achievement. Greater than what? Greater than everything. There is nothing you can ever accomplish in your life that will be greater than this. For these three simple things, look at what Allah is prepared to give us. Allah is prepared to not punish us, which is a mercy, because we all deserve it. All of us deserve it. The Prophet ﷺ said, if a man was born and went into sajda and stayed in that position until the day of judgment, he would still be worried and frightened about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath upon him. Why? Because no matter how much we do, we'll leave the sins alone for a second. No matter how much goodness you do, you could never, ever do enough good to repay Allah for the good He's given you. You could never outgive Allah. We do all we can and Allah gives without any thought of it, without any need. He just gives freely. He is Al-Ghani. He is the one who's rich with no need. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us water to drink. He puts a heart in our chest that beats until the day we die. He puts a kidney and livers to filter out the toxins in our system, a stomach that processes our food. None of this we have to think about it. It just works. Look at what Allah has given you. Your eyesight for those of you who can see. Your hearing for those of you who can hear. The use of your limbs for those of you who can. Look at what Allah has given us. There is no way for you to get out of this debt. This is why we are called abd. We are referred as abd, as slaves. Abdullah, Amatullah for our sisters. Why? Because we are perpetually indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no amount of life we could live. If Allah gave us 1,000,000 years, we would just go farther into debt. Every day you are in debt. So for Allah to not punish us is a mercy. It is a mercy. But not only that, Allah says, I will forgive you and I will enter you into paradise underneath which rivers flow, and then give you prime real estate, fi jannati adn, in the best part of Jannah. ذَلِكُ فَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. You can't accomplish anything better. So brothers and sisters, we have to ask ourselves, what is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world we live in today? This is the question. This is the thought process that we should have, is to be thinking, what is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world today? In our condition, in our situation, there is so many opportunities for you to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you to become in the employment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you enter into tijara with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the opportunity to give da'wah to the people you know here, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, etc. You have the opportunity to help those who are less fortunate. You have the opportunity to help around the world. We have a global system now. You have the opportunity to help our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their condition and free them from the enslavement that they have found themselves into, and the horrible atrocities that are being committed upon them. Anything else that happens, that our brothers and sisters in China, don't think we've forgotten about the Uyghurs, our Uyghur brothers and sisters, the Rohingya, we have not forgotten about them. All the places where Muslims are suffering, Allah, if Allah has given you a position to help, help. There's so much tijara you can do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live in a time now where the business with Allah is wide open. It's wide open. There's so many avenues for you to get involved in it with. And it is a tijara that is never a loss. It is a business. It is one business that is, there is no loss. You can get involved in many businesses in this world, and you may put in a big investment and lose it. You may get it back, and but there's always a risk. How many of these investment companies you see, they always let you know in the fine print, there is a risk of loss of your principal. You can lose everything. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's business, there's no loss. There is nothing but gain. Nothing but gain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give you everything in the next life. But there's one more greater thing that we'll talk about in the same khutbah, insha'Allah. أَقُولُ كَوْلَ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Those are all things that are in the next life. Yeah, everything that Allah has mentioned. He won't punish us. He'll forgive us. He'll grant us Jannah. He'll grant us beautiful homes. All of this is in the next life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands our condition and that we live in this world for the period of time from when we are born to when we die. And we are going to need help in this world. That the people of belief are always going to be met with opposition. This is the way it's always been. The people of belief have always dealt with opposition. This is just the system of the world. This is because this is the enmity the shaitan has against those who believe. And he's had it since the first of us. And he's made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would do whatever he could to misguide the majority of humanity. And Allah promised him that he would be successful except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. So those chosen ones, you and I, who have been chosen to be those who believe and stay upon belief, they will be met with opposition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, something which we cry and beg for all the time. We beg for it. We beg for it in Ramadan. We beg for it in Qiyam al-Layl. We beg for it in Qunut. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We beg for it on the minbars on Friday for Allah to give victory to this ummah. Right? May Allah give victory to this ummah. Ameen. But Allah says in the next verse, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُونَهَا I'll give you something else which you love. I'll give you something which your heart loves. Look at how Allah referred to, He framed this one. Because He knows Akhirah is something that, yes, we love it, but it's hard to conceptualize. Because it's in the unseen world, right? It's hard to conceptualize the things that Allah speaks about in the hereafter. But Allah says, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُونَهَا I'll give you something else which you love. نَصْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ I'll give you help that comes from me. And I will give you a clear victory. نَصْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ I'll give you help that comes from Allah and a clear victory. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So give glad tidings to those who believe. That if they do these three things, I will help them. I will help them. Allah didn't say, I will send you help. Allah says, I'll help you. And then Allah says, if Allah helps you, who could stand against you? If Allah decides to help those who believe, who could stand against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one. No one. If Allah decided today that I am going to give victory to this ummah, there is not a single soul on this planet, there's not a single entity, there's not a single government, there's not a single tyrant, there's not a single army that could do anything about it. Because when you stand against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are done. You are done. Look at the Battle of Badr. Very simple analogy that we all know. If it were just according to numbers and arms and capabilities, they would have been done. They were so outnumbered. But our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the battlefield of Badr and he raised his hands to Allah. And he said, Oh Allah, these in front of me are all of your worshippers. These are all the slaves that you have. This is it. This is your ummah right now. If we are defeated today, you won't be worshipped on this earth anymore. If we go down today, then you will no longer be worshipped on this earth. And we know what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His help. His help. And when His help comes, oh yeah, you're done. It's over. It's game over. It is game over. Allah says, I will send you my help and then وَفَتْهٌ قَرِيبٌ I'll give you a clear victory like what happened in Badr where even the Quraysh saw the angels. They saw them. They saw people on the battlefield that no one could stop. This was a clear victory. Clear victory. This was the victory given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see it again, a time and time again throughout the history of this religion. We see it after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the lives of the companions. And their victories that they were given. We see it with the fall of the Roman Empire. We see it with the fall of the Persian Empire. And look at the tenacity that they had and the honor that they had. Like when Khalid ibn Walid said, I am sending to you an army. The beginning of it reaches you, the end of it will be leaving Medina. And every man in there loves death as much as your people love life. Can you imagine getting a letter like this? That every person in this vast army coming to you loves death as much as you love life. Napoleon said the very same thing when he tried to fight the Muslims. He came back and he said, How can I defeat a people who see paradise at the end of our cannon? How can you defeat someone who sees victory at the end of our weaponry? These were different people. They had different priorities. This life for them was a bypass. It was literally a stop along the way. We existed before this world. Allah created all of us in the loin of Adam alayhi salam. We existed before this world and we'll exist after it. This is literally a stop along the way. But while we're here, we have to work. Yes, we have to work to pay bills. We have to work to put food on the table. We have to work to survive. That's fine. But our focus should be, what can we do for Allah? What tijara can I do for Allah? What business can I do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because that is the business that does nothing but multiply. For these three simple things, brothers and sisters, Allah has promised to give us everything. Everything. He's promised to give us everything. The best of this world, help from Him and a clear victory. The best of the next life, not punishing us, forgiveness of our sins, entry into paradise, beautiful homes and the prime real estate of Jannah. What else could you want? What else do you want? Everything you want from Allah, He's already given you the formula of how to get it. The problem is, we're just not willing. We're just not willing to put in the work. We're not willing to put in the work. We'll go work 70, 80 hours for someone who will replace you in an instant if you die. Your job, it will replace you in an instant. The day you die, the next day they'll have an ad out looking to replace you. But business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perpetual. It is perpetual. It is gaining you something which you will see forever, inshaAllah. So make sure that when you are planning your life and the work that you want to do and the things that you want to accomplish, you are putting priority in the business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best business. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَلَهُ مَنْصُورُ إِسْلَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَلَهُ مَنْصُورُ وَعِزُّ إِسْلَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ يَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَآذِرَ التَّشْرِكِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ سُبْحَانَكَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Right after Salah, I literally have 30 seconds of announcements, so just stay seated for 30 seconds, inshallah.